According to Revelation 1 and verse 19, the book of Revelation is written in chronological order. And this is after we've just gone through the seven churches. And many theologians believe not only do they have to do with the seven churches that existed at that time, but also chronologically through history. And we would believe we're probably the Laodicean church today, the lukewarm church today. We're living in that time. And so it comes up to the place in chapter 4, verse 1, where after these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. How many know that God's the door opener? He's the one that opens the door no man can shut, and shuts the door and no man can open. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." And what happened was, immediately I was in the Spirit, verse 2. John was caught away to the throne of God. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Wow, how amazing is that? Yes. Now understand, John was on this, banished to this Isle of Patmos. It was not a comfortable place to be. He was probably very miserable. But sometimes it's in the most miserable times of our lives we get the greatest revelations. Is there a witness here tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, those hard places are, in one respect, they're miserable, but in another, they can be there's a real blessing in it if we would look to the Lord. Come up here and I will show you things which must take place. He was in the Spirit and he sees the throne set in heaven. Now, there are many who believe, because beginning from chapter 4 here and on, there is no mention of the church. And there are many who believe that this is in chronological order, showing that the church is no longer in the picture. It's not speaking of the church here. I'm not going to argue theology over pre, mid, or post-tribulation rapture. But I'm going to give you some of my thoughts and share some other thoughts that I was able to put together on this. How many know what the rapture is? It's spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Hold your finger there. Let's flip over there real quick. Take a look. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, meaning those who had passed away naturally and died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. And that word is, that's where we get with the word rapture. We use the word rapture today, the catching away. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. So this is not some kind of fairy tale or fable. There's coming a time when the Lord is going to appear, amen, and he's going to call. He's going to call his bride. He's going to call out the ones who have been looking for him. He's going to call out the ones that he has put his seal on, amen, the redeemed, because God has not appointed his church to suffer his wrath. He didn't redeem a people. He didn't call a bride to himself to put her through his judgment and his wrath. The wrath of God is reserved for the world of the ungodly, those who refuse the word of God. And so those of us who believe, we have a blessed hope in the coming of Jesus Christ to call a rapture out the redeemed. And after that happens, he's going to release his judgments upon this earth. And I believe that is during the seven-year tribulation. There's a difference between having tribulation, difficulties in this world, and the wrath of God. Amen? If you study, there's a big difference there. Sometimes people mix them up together. But there's the tribulation that we all experience in this world, and then there's the great tribulation, which is really a time of God's judgments and His wrath. We don't want to be here for that. Amen? We want to be with Jesus. Now, I know that a lot is happening in the earth today. There are many good people that are suffering all over today. Maybe you're suffering in some way or another in your life. But folks, this is not, I don't believe, the great tribulation that's coming. I believe this is the beginnings of birth pains. Amen? Things are heating up. Things are speeding up. We're seeing the floods and the famines and the earthquakes in various places and pestilence and disease of all manner and wars and rumors of wars and all things that are happening that Jesus had prophesied. He'd said they would happen. Amen? But then we read, Dr. Luke wrote and said that, he quoted Jesus saying that, watch and pray always, Luke 21, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth. So there's an escape. And to stand before the Son of Man. So I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I do believe that there is an escape for the people of God. I believe that there's supernatural protection even for God's people. But I will say this. I do believe it's very important that we watch and that we pray. That we stay connected to God. This is no time to be lukewarm, amen? So that day will come on us unaware. There are many people who have been hearing that for so long that they no longer regard that. Oh yeah, we've been hearing about Jesus coming for so much, all my life I've been hearing that. We thought He was coming yesterday, when I was a kid. And yet, He still hasn't come. And He's coming in an hour when you think not. Well, for many, this is a time when they're thinking not. Because they've been here, I've heard that before. The rapture is a literal, visible, bodily coming of Jesus Christ to call out the world and every prepared, born-again believer. First the dead and then the living. Jesus is going to return, but He's going to come bodily. He's going to come bodily. Now, how did Jesus go to heaven? He went bodily. He rose again on the third day, what? Bodily. Amen? Not a spirit. Now, there are those who believe that the second coming of Jesus was Pentecost, when God poured out the Holy Spirit. And as a matter of fact, this yo-yo that was predicting the end of the world, was using that as justification for what he was saying, that Jesus had already come in that sense, in his spirit. In the sense that, yes, he has come in his spirit, that is true. But Jesus is literally coming back for a bride, for a people that are prepared. For those who are looking for Him, He shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus is coming and we need to be ready. And we need to be about our Father's business. Amen? We need to be letting people know. Now Acts chapter 1 verse 19 says, now when He had spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, this is at His ascension, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, these are angels, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. So how is He going to go? The same way He came, amen? Same way He left is the same way He's going to come. Now remember, after Jesus' resurrection, He appeared to His disciples in Luke 24:39, and He says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. He was able to transcend matter. He was able to go through walls and yet still have a physical form that you could literally touch. They could touch Him. Thomas was able to put his hand in the nail prints, amen, and in his side. And then he fell down and he said, my Lord and my God. He acknowledged the deity of Jesus Christ, that He was God. Now David said in Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. What are we going to be like in the resurrection? We're going to be like Jesus. We'll have a body like Jesus, a glorified body that does not corrupt, that does not rot. Aren't you glad? We don't have to take any more aspirin. And so verse 3 of chapter 4 of Revelation, and He who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. Sardius is like a blood red, but in appearance. And it doesn't actually say that they literally saw every feature, but it says that in the appearance of a jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. I mean, God is beyond description. This is just someone attempting to explain how beautiful God is. And I've heard lots of testimonies of people who have said they have seen God, you know. They've gone to the throne and they've seen Jesus. And they explained and talked about some of the very same things that are being spoken of here. Now, around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne was a sea of glass, like crystal. So you get this picture here of heaven. You know how many remember that heaven is actually a temple? That earthly tabernacle, that temple, you know, the tabernacle of Moses, and then the temple that Solomon had built, was patterned after the heavenly. So you see in the glassy sea, the sea of glass, as of the brass laven, you know, where they would wash. And there was mirrors, brass mirrors within that. And you see the seven lamps of fire, even as in not the most holy, but the holy place, the second chamber. Remember, there was the seven lampstand, and it was fed continually with oil, which symbolizes what? The Holy Spirit. The seven spirits of God is the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit. And 24 elders in verse 4 sitting. Interesting that there were 24 divisions in the Levitical priesthood. And so you see the whole thing. What were they do? They were there to minister in the tabernacle, in the temple. The Levites were called out to do that. That was their responsibility. And so just as it was on the earth, according to God's pattern, there was a reason why He gave specific instructions to Moses, amen, as how to put this together. Because it was to show that which was eternal. It was to reveal, actually, Jesus Christ in all His dimensions. Now, God is so awesome and so powerful, and so it's beyond our comprehension. He's really beyond. But we try, you know, to get and what we're doing is we're getting a more of a picture all the time of who He is. We're learning a little bit more about Him. We're getting to know Him a little better. But, you know, we ask the question, do you know God? And people that, you know, have Jesus in their lives and walk with Him would say, yeah, I know God. But really, we're only getting to know God. I mean, come on. God is so awesome. But that's the awesome thing about this, is that we've been given an invitation to come into His throne, to come into His presence by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can get to know Him, that we can receive from Him, that we can love on Him and be loved by Him. Amen? We can have fellowship with God. We can worship Him in spirit. It means in the heart. You see, in the most innermost chamber of that temple, you know, on the earth, was the Ark of the Covenant with a covering cherubim, you know, and that was where God's Shekinah glory, His presence dwelt. Amen? Between the cherubim. Well, we see the same thing here. It's all spelled out right here. The picture as on earth, amen, so in heaven. And so what we want to do is we want to agree with God and pray, Father, we want to see that which is in heaven come to earth. We want to see the supernatural invade the natural. We want to see the superior invade the inferior. We want to see Your kingdom come and Your will be done. And that day is coming. But we must pray that in. He gave us that authority as priests. And so these 24 elders also, I believe, since we now are a priesthood, amen, they are representative of the church, who is a royal priesthood. God's intent from the very beginning in Genesis 18:18, when He told Abraham, I've called you to be a kingdom of priests. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. Not just for a select few, but everyone was called in that nation on the earth to represent Him as a priesthood. And so now in Christ Jesus is no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, but we're all one in Christ, and we're all a priesthood. that we may offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And Hebrews 13:15, that we may continually by Him offer to God sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to His name. We are to give thanks to God. We are to give praise to our God. We are to stand in the gap, amen, on behalf of others. Intercession. Standing in the gap for others, amen. We are to come before God with our petitions. Make our petitions known. Our Heavenly Father cares about us. He's a good Father. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So we want what God, Papa God has, amen. Because He has the best. He offers the best. Amen. And it's mainly that our soul would prosper. That we would be made beautiful internally because we are eternal creatures. And so there are those who are being drowned in destruction because their whole focus is on this world, on temporary things. And they may be dressed and look pretty on the outside, but inside they may be impoverished. Amen? And guess what? We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. And if we're going to go into heaven, I want to have a good wardrobe there. Amen? I want to be dressed in Jesus. I want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my treasure there. Amen? Or people don't break in and steal.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And so here we see this going on in the throne of God, the beauty, the splendor, the voice speaking as a trumpet, you know, the thunderings. You know, interesting enough, I think it was Exodus 17 when Moses was on the mount, you know, there were thunderings and the voices, and it was God was showing up, man, in power, and such power that the people trembled. They were afraid of God's presence. Aren't you glad that God has made it possible for you and I now, through the blood of Jesus, to come confidently to Him? Folks, we're not supposed to be afraid of our Father. Not in the sense that we're afraid of Him, that we don't want to go to Him. But in a reverential fear, in that of respect for our Father, yes. But not in a, He's scary and I don't want to be around Him kind of thing. That's what the devil does. He presents a different God, a different Jesus. Amen? Why? Because Christ redeemed us by His blood, qualified us to come into His presence. Therefore, we can come with confidence, not based upon my performance, but based upon what God has already accomplished for me when Jesus died on my behalf. Amen? And rose again. So here we see this whole thing. Now, I want to back up just a little bit here to the rapture. And we're going to get into this more in detail. But the rapture of the church is catching away. Something I didn't mention, but if you look at the types and shadows in Scripture too, you know, you also see Noah. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, what was going on? He was a preacher of righteousness. Remember, for 120 years? He preached repentance. Repent, you know, because the judgment of God is coming. And only few were saved, only 8 of that entire world. Why? Because they got on the ark. The ark is a type of Jesus Christ. But what did the ark do? The ark saved them out of the wrath of God. So in type you see the deliverance, the catching away, if you will, amen, into Christ, a deliverance from the wrath of God upon the world of the ungodly. God has not appointed us to suffer wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so what about Lot? Lot and his family in Sodom and Gomorrah, most of us know the story, right? His soul was vexed day by day because of all the ungodliness that he had to live in. And God called them out immediately and quickly. They needed to come out of the city. And they were given specific instructions not to look back. Amen? And remember what happened to Lot's wife. She took just one more look. I think her heart, she was somehow connected to the world. And she turned to a pillar of salt. But we see Before the wrath of God was poured out on those cities, God looked upon Lot. Lot represents the faithful. Lot represents those who have faith in God, as did Noah. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Why? Noah was a man who feared God, who walked with God, who would obey God. God knew that, and so God chose Noah. And Noah was spared from the wrath of God. I mentioned this Sunday. It's kind of funny, it's kind of cute, but walking into a barn does not make you a cow, right? Walking in the church doesn't make you a Christian. And just calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you a Christian either. A Christian is one who has been transformed, amen, by the Lord, who has been born again, who has Christ living on the inside of them. That is a follower of Jesus, amen. A true follower is one who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, purchased by God, and God has come to dwell in them. Now, you and I today are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are that spiritual priesthood, amen, that temple on the earth. And it's supernatural because we're connected to heaven at the same time. We have been raised up with Christ. So, positionally, we are actually with the Lord in the Spirit. So that ought to be a sobering thought, that every word, every action, every deed, of course, whether you're a Christian or not, God knows it all, right? But God has provided a place, He's prepared a place for those who love Him. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means we should surrender our lives to Him. He gave it all for us. He gave His best. He laid down His life for us, that we might also lay down our lives now. Amen. For Him. And I don't know about you, but I've never regretted doing that. I've never regretted giving my life fully to Jesus. I found liberty. I found freedom. I found peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. I found that my found out my purpose in life. Amen? And it's not just to suck air. Amen? John said immediately he was caught up in the Spirit into this place. Now, I don't have time to get into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul talked about his experience of being caught up into the third heavens and seeing unspeakable things. But he's caught up to the throne of God. And so Hebrews 8:5 says that the priests served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Again, this is just, again, confirmation of what I was telling you, that those things that were done on the earth were copies or shadows of the eternal. Amen? And so, again, the mercy seat representing God's presence, amen, in the earth, the Ark of the Covenant, it contained three things. It contained the law, Aaron's rod that budded, and a pot of manna. In Exodus 19:16, I mentioned about Moses being on the mountain. And that was when the law had been given. And there was the same type of thing happening there, lightning and thunders. And then the seven lampstands before the throne. Isaiah 11:2 says seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Represents the mind illuminated by the Spirit, Romans 12:2. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. As the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are to continually be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to have oil continuously supplied to us. Again, you see that sea of glass, the laver for washing. You know, there's something about that, that this water is so calm, yet there's thunders and lightnings and, you know, and the thundering of this voice, and yet the water is not troubled. And I believe there's something to be said about that, that He is the one who calms, amen, our storms. How many know that God's not stressed out, amen? I mean, heaven is a place of perfect peace. And so the water is not troubled. There's no storm on that water. It's glass, glassy sea, amen? It's like as of glass. Interesting that James 1:22 talks about looking into the mirror, you know? Looking into the law of liberty, looking into the mirror of God's Word is what it's talking about. And we see a reflection of ourselves in the Word of God. Amen? Those who hear the Word but they don't do it is like a man looking in a glass. Amen? Into a looking glass, seeing himself, And then he walks away and he says, now I wonder what I looked like. When we stay in the Word, when we abide in Him and abide in the Word, we are continually being reminded of who God is, who we are, why we exist. What is my purpose? How many have realized that when you start to disconnect from prayer and the Word, that things begin to get fuzzy? You very quickly begin to forget things. You can even forget about all the goodness and the blessings of God. That's what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now these four living creatures, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst, verse 6, and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. What do the eyes represent? It means being able to see clearly, amen? And everywhere, in every direction. Discernment. Very discerning. And there are four living creatures. And look at this in verse 7. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now, it's interesting that Ezekiel had a vision in Ezekiel 10:20. And these are the seraphim. And they were these six-winged angelic beings. And so these creatures are amazing because I did some studying on these, and one of them had the face of a lion. And well, Jesus was the Lion of Judah. And also a lion is the leader of all the beasts. Amen? All the wild beasts. And then the calf. And I heard, and I don't know if I agreed with this or understood it, one commentator was talking about the calf or lamb. But we do know that the calves were used as well as for sacrifice. But they also represented the leader among domestic animals. And I believe here we see Lion of Judah, okay, sacrifice, the calf, and then the man being intelligence, sometimes, Son of Man, deity became flesh. These are facets. These are manifestations. It's amazing that everything in heaven speaks of God's glory, of God's awesomeness. It gives you a glimpse, a picture, another picture of who He is. His infinite wisdom. Man's intelligence. Leader among all creatures. We've been given that place of authority as leaders. Amen? So the lion, the calf, the man, and then the eagle. Sovereignty of God. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. An eagle rides above, flies above, amen, the snake line that goes around the earth. And a snake line is that elevation where poisonous, venomous snakes can no longer exist. An eagle perches and makes its nest above that place. And so, we are also, as in Isaiah 40 says, as believers, we are as eagles. Amen? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. And why is it? Because we are with Christ. We are in Christ. Amen? We see that Jesus has overcome. Amen? There is nothing that defiles. Amen? In heaven. Jesus lives in complete holiness. God the Father, complete. Heaven is a holy place. Nothing that defiles is going to enter into that place. And eagle, again, talks of leadership, representing all the fowl of the earth. So, lion, leader among beasts, calf, leader among domestic animals, man, leader among all creatures, and the eagle, leader among all birds. Creation, represented in these four beings. It's just amazing. There are those who believe this is simply allegorical, but it talks about these as being actual creatures around the throne of God. And if you want to do some further study, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 5 through 10 also has a very similar, vision of the same thing. Now, we talked about the 24 elders representing the redeemed of the earth and these being members of the human race. And I'm going to finish with this tonight. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we've been talking about the priesthood of believers. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What are these elders doing? They're casting their crowns before God, the one who is worthy of all praise. Why? Because He is the Creator of all things. God is worthy of our service to Him. As a priesthood, we are to serve, amen, this tabernacle. We are the temple of God. The people of God make up this temple. We are a habitation of God in the Spirit. We are, in a sense, a temple on the earth now, representing, amen, the temple in heaven. It's no longer made by hands, but it's made up of living stones. You and I make up the temple of God. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the one who holds it all together. Amen? He is our foundation. He is the one that keeps us together. And where there is unity, amen, there is the life of God. When we are together, joined together perfectly, everyone in their right place, doing the right thing that they were called to do, working together as one body, and there's unity when we are focused on Jesus Christ, amen, and not on one another. How many know that you can get disappointed really quickly when you start focusing on man? Even on preachers, because preachers are human too, and they can make mistakes. Of course, you didn't know that, but just in case. But none of us are called to focus on men. We're called to focus on Jesus. Amen? Amen? But we will follow one another as long as we are following Jesus. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow the Lord." So in that sense, God has placed leadership on the earth, spiritual leadership. Follow these men, amen, and women that God has placed in your life as long as they follow Christ. Amen. Now, I want to finish with this because it's so important that you don't just accept everything, amen, that sounds good, that sounds spiritual. How many know that even what I speak tonight, you should be checking it out for yourself?
Amen.
Amen. God gave us His Word. The problem today and the reason why there is so much deception is because many Christians don't even know what's in this book. They've accepted Jesus, but they don't know much about anything else, what's going on. And they just accept whatever the preacher tells them. And that's why you got people selling their houses and going up on the top of the roof to waiting for God to appear. Come on. How could, and I'm talking, and you're talking intelligent people that were doing this. Educated people. People that were affluent even, that had sold everything, gave everything away because this preacher said that God is going to come on a certain date. Well, if they had just simply read what Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour.
That's right.
Except my Father in heaven. Why is that? Because in Jewish culture, the bridegroom would not come for his bride, his people, until the Father gave him the green light to go. So Jesus is saying, I'm waiting for my Father to give me the green light. And when He says go, I'm coming and I'm going to receive my bride. I'm coming for my people. And I'm going to take them out and I'm going to pour out my wrath on the world of the ungodly, on those who do not love our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I want to get on the ark. Because the day comes when the Lord Himself seals the door. They got on the ark. God Himself sealed the door. Too late. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get on the ark. Today is the day to call on Jesus. Amen. To get your heart right with God. To confess your sins. To forsake your sin. And to take up your cross and follow Him. Amen? To take up the assignment God gave you in this world to serve Him. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Amen? And His love. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are teaching us, that you are training us, that you are equipping us, that you are preparing us for eternity. Father, we pray that you would open doors. Open doors for everyone here. Open doors, Lord God, for us. Lord, that we will see clearly. That, Lord, we may be able to reach the lost. That we might be able, Lord God, to bring people to Jesus. Father, I pray that you will fill your church with power. That the Holy Spirit, Lord, will dwell richly in every heart. That we will be worshipers of you. And as we worship you and we walk with you, the doors will automatically open. And God, your perfect love, may it be shed abroad in our hearts. Because your perfect love casts out all fear. My Father, I pray, make us bold as a lion. Make us strong in your might, Lord. That we might stand, Lord, with having equipped ourselves in the full armor of God. Lord, that we will be ready when you say go. Thank you, Jesus.